The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
All right. In our Gospel lesson, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be leaving them soon. He was going to be crucified, and he was going to go live with God in heaven. And the disciples, they were kind of scared about that. But Jesus said, "Don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send an advocate to be here with you." Do y'all know what an advocate is? No? Okay. Let's see if we can figure this out. What is an advocate? An advocate is someone that speaks on your behalf, someone that helps you and supports you. An advocate can also be called a comforter or a counselor or a helper. The advocate that Jesus is going to send, he's going to go ask God if it's okay for him to leave his Spirit with us, when he's not going to be with us, but he's going to leave his Holy Spirit with us. His Holy Spirit is going to be the connection we have between ourselves and Jesus. Jesus did send his Spirit to live with the disciples back then, and that Spirit lives with us now. We can't see it. We can't touch it, but we can feel it, and we can see its effects on people that believe in God. We can see evidence of having the Holy Spirit in us by our loving one another and by us following God's rules and commandments. The Holy Spirit guides us and comforts us and helps us pray. And a lot of times when we pray, we might not say the right words. We might not know exactly what we're asking for, but that's okay. Because our advocate, the Holy Spirit, will make sure that Jesus and God understand what we're asking for and what we truly need. And we also receive God's answers back through the Holy Spirit in feelings that we get, and the Spirit will guide us, and he'll protect us. And I need that paper. The Spirit is going to be with us until Jesus returns. And he will return to us someday, but until then, that we'll have his advocate, the Holy Spirit, with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us your Holy Spirit as an advocate to watch over us and be with us and always be willing to ask for what we need, even when we don't know it ourselves. Help us to care for one another and love one another in your community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's all I have, but don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere yet. Don't go anywhere yet. The junior high youth wanted to honor all the women of the congregation, and they're trying to come up with something, and they thought a small gift with a big thought. And so what we would like to do is honor all the women of the congregation on this Mother's Day with a special gift, a little hug, and a kiss. So we would like all the women of the congregation, we want to say thank you for all that you do for the community, for this community of faith, and for your families. And so we will have these available. There'll be two of these pans. There'll be one in the back and one over here in the annex at the end of the service. But we thought it would be kind of nice if the children would take one to their mothers. So now, only one for the only one.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul traveled all throughout the Roman world starting new churches. And if you flip through the New Testament, the books of the New Testament, you can see to all the people whom he went. The Romans, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. The Galatians, he traveled many different places, and every time he would stop, or when he would stop, he would try to plant churches. And Christian communities came up from those points, and as those congregations either were doing well or as they were struggling, he would write letters to them to help them along, to guide them along their way so that they can start building new churches themselves. And the Christian church just blossomed, even under the midst of persecution. But Paul was excellent at planning these churches, of getting these Christian communities going. And the book of Acts contains his journeys that he traveled through this place. And so this morning, in our first lesson, we read about one of these journeys or one of these places that he stopped in his journeys, and that was Athens. Now, Athens was not one of the biggest major cities in the Roman world. It wasn't one of the largest cities for commerce or for trade or for shipping. It wasn't the seat of power like Rome was. It wasn't the place, the hustling, bustling place of Corinth. But it did have one thing very important there, and that was a huge university. Scholars from all over around the world would come to debate religion, and they would come to debate philosophies. And they would glean from that, and then the students would learn not only the art of debating, but also just all the knowledge that comes from around the whole known world in that day and time. It was an important place. So this is where Paul stops to start a new congregation. Now, Paul had a method about doing this. Before he would even start to trying to build a congregation, he wanted to know who the people were here. He wanted to get to know the people. He wanted to get to know the culture. He wanted to know the place. And so he would kind of wander around a bit. Paul was also known as a tent maker, which he supported himself a good part of his ministry. He was a leather worker. And so he may set up shop then as well in the marketplace. Otherwise, he would wander the city and he would look to see what's there. He would talk to different people, find out what their culture was, what made them tick, what was peculiar or what was particular to this community. And so when then Paul was ready to start his actual ministry there, he says to the people, "I see how very religious you are." And he makes mention of the shrine, one of the shrines, one of the temples that was there in Athens. And that was the shrine to the unknown God. Now, the story behind this one is that, you know, a number of years before Paul, there was a pestilence that came into Athens. And nobody could stop it. Nobody knew how to stop this pestilence. So one guy had a brainstorm, and he said, "We release a number of goats from the Areopagus, and where the goats stop, if they stop in front of one of the shrines or temples that is there, we give sacrifice, we give worship to that god to appease that god so that the pestilence would stop. Or if the goat stops at somewheres there's not a shrine or a temple, then we worship the unknown God." See, Paul was able to pick up on this. Paul was able to see all the different shrines because of the university there. People from all different religions, philosophies would come together, and usually there would be a community that would start a worshiping community of some sort within that own religion. And so there were a number of different religions, and Athens was very tolerant in having a number of different religions, a number of different gods. And so there were shrines and temples all over the place. And so with Paul coming in with a new religion, they were fairly receptive of this because it was kind of a sport to debate religions and philosophies. I mean, that's what they were good at. That's what they enjoyed. That was their entertainment, was debating. And so they welcomed Paul to hear some new ideas, new thoughts, and figure out what they can glean from that. And so Paul was very welcome. And so he starts off, "I see that you are very religious." And I'm sure the people there took that as a compliment. Yes, they are very religious. I mean, they have shrines all over the place. They have temples all over the place. They are very religious people. They were impressed that Paul took the time to get to know who they were and to see these things. And Paul was a very elegant speaker, a very capable speaker. And so they were impressed with Paul. But when Paul said, "I see that you are very religious," I'm not so sure he meant that as a compliment, or it was a tongue-in-cheek kind of compliment. Because you see, Christians are religious, but Jews are religious. So are Islam. Those who follow Islam are religious. Buddhists are religious. Hindus are religious. Even devil worshipers are religious. And you could even say that atheists are religious. Being religious is not the important part. And if you think about it, those who gave Jesus the most trouble were the most religious. Is that to say that being religious is bad? Not necessarily. Being religious is going through all the motions, the liturgies, the rites, the practices of that religion. Jesus himself was religious. I mean, we see stories where Jesus was regularly in worship. He said his prayers intensely. There's a story where Jesus was circumcised, another story where it was probably his bar mitzvah that he went back to. He was raised being taught scriptures. Jesus was a religious person. So, what makes religion or what makes religious either being good or being bad or not helpful? The important part is not to be religious, but rather to be faithful. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus was heading towards the cross. This was the night of the Last Supper that he spoke this to his disciples. He knew that he was going to be crucified in just a few short hours and that he would rise again, and eventually then he would be raised from the dead and also the ascend into heaven. And he says, "I will not leave you alone. I will give you an advocate." And that advocate has come to us. That advocate is with us. That advocate is within us. As the gospel was saying, "I am in my Father is in me, and if you are within me, the Father is also within you." We are tied together with Christ. And with Christ being within us, that faith comes out. And it is that practice of faith where we are seen as religious. But not only religious, we are seen as being faithful. We're being seen as having something that drives us, something that makes us who we are as Christians. What we do in worship, the liturgies, the baptisms, Holy Communion, our prayers, our songs, all those follow Scripture. And we try to be faithful to God to help us express what that means, that God is within us, to bring it out. It's not something, though, that needs to stay within us. It's something that we share with others. It's something that is taken out into the world, to be lived out in the world. Going back to Paul now again. Paul told the story of God creating the earth. He tells the story of Abraham, and he tells the story of Jesus Christ. That this God that is unknown can now be made known. He uses what the people know, and he builds on that. They already have a shrine to the unknown God. Well, here Paul is laying out who this unknown God is. This unknown God to them, to make that God known to them, so that they too can be faithful and worship God. But if you look again, flip through the New Testament to find all the books in there, do you find a letter to the Athenians? No, there is not one there. Why? Because Paul was not able to start a Christian community there in Athens. The people there were so religious, or they were so attuned to their own ways of doing things, that they probably debated this religion. They probably gleaned some of the things off of the things Paul's was saying, but it never took root. It never took root within them. And so Paul was not able to start a new congregation, a new church there in Athens. I think that has something to say about us, particularly here in America, that there are very many unchurched people. And it doesn't matter what you say to them or what you do. A lot of times they just don't hear it. They don't get it. The story of Jesus Christ, the story of the grace of God, that story of the love of God. They just don't get it. Because they're so worried in their own religion, whether that's the religion of making money or the religion of having power, the religion of politics, who knows? But they're so busy in their own religion that they cannot see the truth. That spirit of truth never enters in. Paul was not able to start a congregation there in Athens. Later on, there were congregations with Athens, but at that time, it just did not happen. We never know what God is calling us to do or what's going to happen when we do what God calls us to do. I mean, Paul was the greatest missionary ever known, and still here, he was not able to start a congregation in Athens. We just simply need to be faithful. God doesn't call us to be religious, to just do the practices, the rituals or those kind of things. God calls us to live out our faith. He just simply wants us to be faithful and obedient to Him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.